Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome, everybody, to the Synergy Connection Radio Show. I have as my guest today Bart Smyth, and he is a master practitioner of quantum medicine since 1995. He's also a grand master Tai Chi, I don't want to say artist, but practitioner, and he does trainings worldwide. He also does sports massage and neuromuscular structural and linguistics therapies, and works with homeopathy and Bach flower remedies. He began his personal investigation in 1988 and has studied Jungian shamanic psychotherapy. And that's a mouthful. Bart was initiated by Don Benamine.
Benamine.
I'm going to say that wrong every time. And the Shipibo tribe in Peru. And he continues the tradition of his medicine man training still today. Bart works mainly in Dubai, Europe, and the East Coast of the United States. He currently lives in Sweden, where he's raising three children. He's available for private sessions, both in person and on Skype. And you can find him on his website, amodernday.shaman.net. Again, that's amodernday.shaman.net, and you run it all together. So welcome, Bart. I'm thrilled to have you here on the Synergy Connection Show.
Thank you, Lucy. Glad to be here.
I'm going to start by asking you a question about how did you become a shaman?
It's kind of a funny story for me because I really wasn't looking to become a shaman. I was looking to straighten out things and get some questions answered for my life after I'd been in a bad car accident and given a combination of medications for pain and other things that I quit all of a sudden when I found out what they did to my liver. I just stopped. But you can't stop those type of medications after 6 months of taking them. And I didn't know that. But anyway, my life going into that accident was one way and coming out was different. And I had to figure things out. And I had an architectural contracting company in San Francisco and I built a house for my psychotherapist. And he trained with the Central American and other natives, Native American shamans. He was part of the transpersonal psychotherapy movement, Stanislav Groth, Timothy Leary, and all these people. So
you kind of came into it almost like through a back door.
A back door, totally. I wasn't looking for it. And then as it progressed, I met my teacher, Kenny, who had been working in training and living with the tribes for 25 years down in the jungles of the Amazon in different countries. And he also was a martial artist like me. And so I had a good connection with him and I started training with him, and they took me to Peru and I really didn't know what was going on. They asked me if I wanted the higher levels of the training and I thought that's what we were all there for, but I found out years later I was one that they chose. So it was kind of like by accident. And even through the process, I wasn't really quite sure what was going on because the type of shamanism we do down there with the Shipibo Indians isn't something that you can read about or talk about. It's delivered through ceremony. So
it obviously changed your life totally.
Yeah. But it actually tapped into something I'd been experiencing in my life, but I didn't know what I was experiencing. I had sensitivities to energies and spirits, and I seemed to know things before they would happen, and I knew people I could trust, knew people I couldn't trust. And so when people were trying to convince me, like my brother, to be with certain types of people, I'd know better, right?
And you did that even as a young person?
Yeah, but my first conscious memory is about 11 years old when we moved to L.A., and I was a country boy from New York, and learn fast.
You gotta handle yourself, huh?
Yeah.
Did you get involved with some gangs or anything like that while you were there?
Well, I could say this. When I moved to Altadena, Pasadena, they forced the integrated busing. So my first day of school, I got beat up going into school, and a week later I got beat up by four or five guys, and then the next week, and then nobody was there to actually guide me or help me. So I started hanging out with the tough guys, and then I didn't like them, so I kind of started training with guys coming out of NAM.
So you learned how to take care of yourself.
I learned how to take care of myself, and I wound up being the go-to guy to take care of everybody else.
Yeah. That kind of led you maybe into martial arts then.
Yeah, I started just the military type and then went into formal training, and I've been doing it since I was about 12, 13 years old.
Oh, wow. So what do you think the role of a shaman is in today's modern culture?
Well, that's a great question, because the shaman, there's so many different forms of shamanism, and great authors are shamans, great musicians are shamans. They're moving energy and they're speaking through their heart, and it's a current that goes through. Like my best guitar teacher, I was just about ready to stop playing guitar because I was classically trained, and he was jazz and blues and classic, but he said, Bart, there's a pool of energy and music inside your belly, and what happens is you want to open up to that, and that's what we're doing, right? And then that happened. And so, just like in the martial arts, Tai Chi and Qigong, we tap into our inner connections, and then the energy moves us, and we move with the energy. So, anything that we're truly engaged in, truly loving to do, I say that is your shamanistic practice. Now, as far as somebody like me, the nature of my work can be something that is available to assist people with the unknown things and the unseeable things that I certainly didn't know I was subject to them. But when I started training, you know, with the Shipibo Indians, they cleared a lot of things out of me from my engagement with taking care of myself and learning to fight and prepare for Vietnam and all that. And so I thought I was going to Vietnam because, you know, I kept going. So I was kind of serious about being able to survive.
Right.
And so that survival mode put me into a, like we hear, you know, survival or thrival, right? Like I could control my life and business, but I couldn't be part of my environment. And so the Indians opened me up to the environment and where my inner could connect and be part of that.
You know, just speaking from my own personal life, mm-hmm. I have always found, and I think that's what you're saying here, I've always found that if I'm out in nature, I'm with wild animals, you know, that they literally stop and communicate with me.
Yeah.
That trees, you know, can communicate with people so easily if we just give them an opportunity.
When we're quiet, when we're quiet and connected. And there's many a times I'm out in nature and I finish my Tai Chi set, and then all the crickets, the birds, dude, they're quiet while I'm doing it. And I'm going, wow, it's really quiet around here. As soon as I stopped, hey, he's done. We can party.
Well, I think they pick up our energy.
Absolutely.
I was with a friend on a golf course not too long ago. And we came around the corner, and there were a lot of deer that are wild deer. And a couple of them, you know, because I got off the golf cart and took my, you know, camera phone, and was able to go up pretty darn close without them leaving, and got some amazing pictures where it's just like you lock eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're locking eyes, they can see your soul.
Absolutely.
And you can see theirs. And it's absolutely beautiful when that happens.
Yeah.
So can you explain a little bit about how life is interconnected with us? Because we are all energy and we're all interconnected, but most people don't actually understand that, maybe, belief system.
Well, how it is, I would say it's an infinite way of how it's connected. But how I've, in retrospect, I spent time looking at my life, of course, you know, going through psychotherapy, and you can't do the type of work that I do with the Indians without looking at every little nook and cranny. So
you know you very well.
I think so. Yeah, I feel good about myself now. So that's a good start, you know.
That is a good start.
And so then that's a good platform to learn more about myself. So that's the one thing I like to if I said anything, it's like about the interconnection is, then that's it. If I feel good about myself, then I can explore myself and I can explore those new things, right? Mm-hmm. New relationships, new art form, new whatever.
Well, part of that is feeling safe, probably, too. Because
yeah, and I had to feel safe with myself, right?
Right.
Because I didn't know how, even like, how did I get in that car accident that led me to using medications that then I wound up divorced with three children and having to rebuild a life that was going. I was a builder in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and everybody knew me. I had a crew and was never without work, and all of a sudden, boom, you're down. And to rebuild that was,
probably scary at best.
Yeah, because you just don't know. I think psychotherapy and the awareness of how we can identify with our work or our roles in life instead of know ourselves and take that to our roles.
You know, that is so true. Years ago when I was living in St. Louis, one of the things that they had done studies on is Ford Motor Company had a large facility there. And so many people went to work there right out of high school and they retired from there. That was back, you know, in the years where you stayed with one company forever rather than going with four or five. And those individuals that didn't know who they were outside of their job title were dead, they found, within 12 months to 24 months.
Really?
And that was simply because they had never gotten to know themselves. You know, they had no hobbies. They had no friends outside of the workforce. They identified with their job within the company. And once they got their gold watch and they shook hands and said bye, they didn't know who they were anymore. And so a lot of what we do, and I think as a shaman, you've discovered that who you are is critical, you know, into understanding what life is all about.
For me, it's and that's the martial arts that led me to Qigong and then Tai Chi, right? And that's the one thing. It's like external was to survive, right? And then I was aware of the external world, hyper aware, because of the fights I'd had and the attacks. But then when I went inside, what I realized that was not dealt with was the fear and the stress and anxiety to perform for the world. It didn't have to be performing in combat. It could be performing for my pop, my dad, who was military. So we had to really perform, but or perform for school or perform anything instead of just being and being supported with being who we are and allowing that to take place. And it's funny that you say that about the Ford Motor Company or the factories, because I went to school for a short time in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. And friends of mine there got moved right into factory work, and they had houses and they had this and they had that. And I was building a construction company, and I kept thinking, wow, maybe I should have just taken a job instead of build a life. And I'm not putting it down at all.
But
you can find your place anywhere. But.
Right, but it's like the universe kind of said, Bart, we have other plans for you.
Yeah.
We're going to give you experiences that will lead you down this road.
Yeah.
And if you had all of these forks in the road, and every time you took a fork, it led you to a different experience until finally you were kind of where you needed to be.
Yeah, and I could see somebody that I liked his energy, and I liked who I saw, and I saw that he was solid in himself, and because we both had similar backgrounds, him from Chicago and me from LA, I could say, okay, this guy I can trust.
Right.
Right. He made it.
Right.
And I think that's one way to find ourselves, too, is by people that we're attracted to, we can see what we're doing.
Okay, so my next question has to do with how do we connect to our inner self? Because, like, the show that I'm doing here is helping people understand that, you know, we can be physically fit. We can have our emotional life kind of put together. We can be mentally very adept at learning. We can have a spiritual connection, you know, to a higher power of some sort.
Absolutely.
But how do you braid them, and how does what you do, you know, help somebody maybe learn how to braid their life, you know, into one that is strong on all fronts?
Well, I do that in a really a myriad of ways, but it's about being present and learning to be present. So in the Qigong I teach, which is basically focusing, we focus on a PowerPoint, three fingers underneath our belly button. This is an energy plane, so that's where we're focusing with Qigong and Tai Chi, and in a good posture to do that and just watch. And no matter what thought we have, we come back here. And I don't have time now to go into that, but I do that at my presentations and courses.
Are you going to be doing some of that this evening?
Yeah, tonight. I teach everybody. I show them how to do it, and then I show why we do it, because there's this information that can be demonstrated instantly where people can see that with their thought and with their focus, they can create instant power way beyond muscle and also affect others. And by the time you leave one of my presentations, I give that to everybody to demystify the energy and our thoughts and know that this is real. And also they can help themselves and others. The other thing is, one thing, like I do what they call life coaching now. We did a consulting business. I went to a 4-year university actually for how to create a life from, you know, your desire, one that envelops and brings all of your capabilities forward, left brain, right brain, everything spirit, everything's functioning, headlights on, going, where you wake up in the morning and there's not a thought of discipline. Discipline isn't a question. It's just like, okay, like you having to write, right? Okay, I have to get up. I have to write, right? I have to get up to play my guitar. I have to do my, you know, because I don't have to, but it's my whole system moves towards that. So one way of self-discovery I could give your people today, or your listeners, and I love to give this because it's something I do for myself a couple times a year and for different projects or even relationships. But it's just, the key is, if I don't really know what I want to do, the key is I know what I don't want to do. And so I have my coaching clients write down on the left side of a piece of paper everything they don't want.
Right.
And then in the middle, everything they do want.
Right.
And I always start people with, I don't like hair in my food.
Okay.
You know what that feels like? Yeah, everybody goes, and I really don't like it. So that's my first thing on my list. And but the thing is, everything we don't want has a feeling to it. And I train not to feel, right? Playing football, soccer, karate, boxing, with all the, you know, you had to take punches and kicks and keep going, right? And so,
avoided pain.
I just I didn't even register it. I mean, you could kick me in the face and I kept coming. And afterwards, I go, wow, that hurt, you know? But you just don't even think, and I'm not the only one. You see that in football players. I mean, I got knocked out by my own team playing football, you know, in practice. It was so hard. But, it was opening. Tai Chi was an opening to me to stop, center, breathe, and feel. And I actually, you know, after 6 months of doing it, I was standing there, and all of a sudden all these tears, like crocodile tears, they call it, came out of my eyes. And I'm with 40 girls and this class women, and it was like this pouring out. I had no emotion. They all just look at me and smile, going, I don't really know what's going on here. But I also made a decision not to cry after 12. You know, I had some things happen. I said, that's it. I'm not crying again. Right. So that
because
was
what crying meant. Crying to you at that time meant I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Being a tough guy is tough. Right?
Yes.
You have to stuff everything down to be that, right?
To be that tough person and not ever get close to anything because that's where vulnerability is.
I could protect you, but I couldn't really.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, everything I don't want gives me a sensation. So I don't want to be in long lines with rude people, whatever,
mm-hmm.
that try to cut in front of me,
right.
Which I have an issue because I fly all the time. And I can tell you each country that I fly in, who's the worst in the lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to, I just like to be with people who are gracious and comfortable and at ease in line.
Mm-hmm.
I had a direct result from that. I went to and I stood and I thought this guy was trying to cut in, and I just said, you know, I'm not going to play this game anymore. I'm done. I'm just going to relax. And the guy goes, no, you go first. Right? So when I quit caring about it,
uh-huh.
and decided that I don't like that feeling of being a victim or whatever, line victim,
right.
Yeah, so instantly the world responded to that with gratitude and graciousness. So anyway, that's a good little game to play, especially coming into the new year. You can see everything you didn't want in this year and then write down everything. It'll show you what you don't want, shows you what you do want often. And you feel as if you have what you don't want, so you know what that is.
There's a, you know, just to piggyback on that, for people that are going into the new year, if they're looking at a job, for instance,
yeah.
I've had them do the same thing where you fold the paper in half, and on the left you put down everything you know you do not want.
There you go.
In a future job, and everything that you do want. And if you take the part you don't want, and you wad it up, throw it away, burn it, whatever you want to do with it, and just keep the part you do want, and do some meditation with that part, it pulls it into your reality. And it's
it
not really the law of attraction. It's taking your natural energies that you don't realize you have and allowing them to go to work for you.
Yeah.
So that kind of works too.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Do you think that shamans can connect us with our spirit guides? I know that whole being in touch with the inner you begins to work for you, but how would you tell somebody maybe that they wanted to pursue, you know, discovering their own shamanistic skills, abilities, but how would they connect maybe with their angels, their spirits, their personal guides in life?
Well, set the intention. And as far as me helping people to connect to them, it's kind of, again, it's a mixed bag, because like for me, having head injuries and traumas from accidents and things like that, these things can make it seem like we're not connected because we're not connected inner, right, properly. So, but what I'd like to say is this: we're always growing, we're always expanding. They know that about the brain now, so we always have to surprise the brain to keep it young, and we want to surprise ourselves too. And when I work with people, clarity can open up places in their system where they have more room for more of their spirit to enter.
Okay.
More of who they are to express. And so I do that in many different ways with people. But as far as me connecting them, I think that we're always connected. There's just more to clear so that the connection is better and more realized.
In some ways, then, you're... I don't know whether this is the right term to use, but it's almost like you're saying you're getting rid of the stuff internally that you don't need that might be holding you back.
Exactly.
And you're opening up space so that spirit can come in energetically and help you with whatever it is you're supposed to be learning.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think shamanism is relevant today?
More than ever.
How so?
Because we're so well connected now on the social media, and there's so many simple ways for misinformation to come to us, or excess information. So if I don't spend the time to actually decipher my own information, then I can be confused as to just the collective conscious of information, or just driving down the street, I'm getting pummeled with massive information. But I think more than ever now, it's we have an availability to connect and connect authentically, and so really shamanic is that, because nature is authentic, and our true nature is authentic, yet we've been programmed and hypnotized and trained by, I mean, I'm trained by YouTube. You know, I had to break it after my injury. I had to quit, let go of looking at YouTube. I got addicted to it.
You know, there's a lot out there.
I mean, it's so much information and so many things I want to see, but, you know, then I don't have time for my life. So.
I have serious concerns. I've worked with children most of my life, you know, mm-hmm. doing psychotherapy, and their families. And I have some serious concerns, you know, now, in that kids are so addicted to their phones.
Yeah, they're actually peeing their pants now instead of getting off their iPad. I work with it. I'm tapped into a therapeutic network, mm-hmm. Nutritional network, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have teenagers, and I have a 9-year-old, and my 19-year-old. The beauty that we have been lucky in Sweden is we also have horses, So we do a lot of training in nature with horses. We take the kids out there, and my ex-wife is a genius with children and horses, and they come out of this malaise and low self-esteem. I call low self-esteem is not knowing ourselves.
Right.
And we get judged and things, and we don't want to know ourselves because we think that somebody else knows something better than us and why they yell at me, right? But, yeah, it's nature and connecting to our own true nature, and that's the Qigong that I do. I mean, it could be yoga, it could be playing piano, whatever it is that really connects and you feel totally engaged in it, for me. And nature, then back to nature.
Back to nature. I know in Japan, one of the things that they've done for hundreds of years is to walk in the trees. You know, they have, do some deep breathing and, you know, become one with the trees. And I think there's a town in Germany called Bad Reichenhall, where Hitler used to take his men for R&R. And I've been there, and there is an area where they have, it's almost like a medicated water that runs over the trees, and it's still there, and you walk in this big loop breathing that medicated
water. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. So I mean, these things have been around forever, and yet we have become so desensitized to using nature to heal. You know, now it's the doctor and whatever prescriptions, you know, he or she might recommend, rather than going within and finding our own healing skills.
And we need both sometimes, but I just found out because I was doing some, I had a bunch of clients up in the Berkshires. I was invited up there, and I went to this town, and I was sitting there going, I was having a cup of coffee, and I go, afterwards I go, seems like people are a bit zombied out here. What's going on here? Is there a lot of medication going on? And they go, oh, the opioid thing is terrible here.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like feeling really strange, and the people in line, and I was going, what's going on? You know, I'm thinking I'm up in the mountains. And then they said, yeah, and they've got a farm that they opened up, and they had like a 15% success rate at a regular drug rehab. But they get these men, women, children, whatever, on opioids. They get them to this farm, and they're there for anywhere, I think, from 3 to 6 months, but they have like an 85% win ratio because they're with the animals, they're in the, with the nature, right?
So that does make a difference for them.
Yeah. I mean, I know it does for me, so.
Well, tonight you're going to be at the Rockstar Cafe.
Yes, I am.
In Oldsmar. And your program is from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
7 to 9 p.m., yes.
I think basically we're sold out is what I'm hearing.
That's nice.
So it'll be a nice crew for you. Anybody who has not been able to maybe sign up, or, you know, they waited to the last minute, to get themselves going. I would recommend that they go to your website then, which is moderndayshaman.net.
Yeah, moderndayshaman.net.
So, you know, I would hope that people would contact you directly and make arrangements for maybe some consulting or counseling.
I do everything online, and actually, I'm be coming back to Florida too, but I do all my therapy and everything online, and I'm going to be putting more things online so I can assist more people.
That's awesome.
Where they are.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for being my guest today. I also want to remind listeners that you can go to synergyconnectionradio.com. And if you have a friend or maybe family member that you think should have listened to this show today, you can catch it there. Excuse me. It will be as a link up a little bit later today. Also, if you do get over to the website, there is a fun and educational part of the website now called the Healthy Blog. And if you click on that, you'll be able to go into Boomer's Forever Young website. And if you do go in and you decide that you want to order a product, if you mention the promo code Lucy, you'll have $5 off of anything you might order. And there is free shipping throughout the month of December. Thank you for listening to Synergy Connection, and I hope everyone out there is living their best life. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.